call this meeting the Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting scheduled for Thursday, November 19th, 2015. Let's go ahead and let's rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me? Is it okay with this new tech?
Yep.
All right. Awesome. All right. Ellen, can we get a roll call, please, for attendance?
Sure. Commissioner Bercellis. Commissioner Gutierrez.
Here.
Commissioner Hudson.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Chairman Custodio.
Here.
Commissioner Bercellis has been excused tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now we come to the portion with public comment, which provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on this agenda. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak? No? All right. Now we go to our consent agenda area, and this is for the minutes to approve or go over the minutes that we had of a regular meeting September 3rd, 2015, and regular meeting October 1st, 2015. Did everyone get a chance to look at them? Is there any concerns, questions that we need to go over? No? All right, could I get a first to approve?
I so approve.
I second it.
Second. Can I get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. All right, so now we're on to the public hearing for consideration of resolution 2015-17. Mr. Fabino, you have the floor.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Director. Before you this evening is resolution 2015-17, as read by the chairman. And basically, staff's recommending to you that you recommend to the City Council approval and implementation of the Climate Action Plan, which is for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. As you may recall, several years ago, the what's referred to as AB 32, or the California Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006, basically was the cornerstone or the landmark piece of legislation which kind of brought the whole idea of greenhouse gases and the reduction of those greenhouse gases into the public realm. As you may recall, one of the cornerstones of that legislation was basically to identify and to what is referred to as, go back to what is business as usual model related to an inventory or a reduction in the greenhouse gases to that level, whatever the city picks as a benchmark year. Several years ago, the city did have its greenhouse gas inventory done. It was before my time. I don't know if it came to you as a planning commission. I know it did go to the City Council for their approval. But in essence, where we're at today is that state law requires that what is referred to in the near term, that the city, like every other city in California, reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 15% by the year 2020. The city, as indicated in this greenhouse gas emissions plan or the climate action plan, the city's already eclipsed that by a 23% reduction, and that was done in a variety of ways. The second tier to that is reduction of greenhouse gases by 2050, or by 50% by 2030, and then an even longer range goal is a 80% reduction by the year 2050. Now, I will go on to say that within the general plan, there are numerous goals, policies, and objectives to be accomplished to help the city move in and achieve those goals. As a matter of fact, one of the goals is to produce a climate action plan. But one of the mitigation measures in the EIR, which is the environmental document that assessed all the impacts of the general plan and its policy, stated that the city should go ahead and create a climate action plan. Absent that plan, the city was obligated to evaluate every project to make sure that every project had a minimum 29% reduction to make sure that we got to our goal. The city, I think we did bring it to you. We went to the city council. We did hire a local firm back in February. There was a professional service agreement that gave us the authority, once that agreement was executed, to give direction to a local firm, which eventually produced the plan that's before you this evening. So you basically have a set of laws that kind of set out where those tiered expectations and reduction levels are supposed to be. You've got a whole host of general plan policies that are also complementary and inserted into the general plan to get us to where we need in the years 2030 and 2050. The greenhouse gas plan before you this evening does a couple of things that I think are really important and noteworthy. They require new infill, reuse, and rehabilitation projects within the city to demonstrate a reduction to meet the 2030 state goals. To us, that's really important. I mean, not only, you know, it's great that we met the near term, which was, again, that 15%, but we've eclipsed by 23, but we still have another 27% to go by 2030. And so with that in mind, that is an important key component. The second key component is to require that new infill, reuse, and rehabilitation projects produce, at time of submittal, a self-certified greenhouse gas reduction emissions checklist that is part of your packet. We can go through it if you want, but basically it's you know, a developer or somebody who's doing, really, even at building permit time related to a solar project, you know, they're going to check it off. It's a city's evidence that by 2030 we will have been able to quantify through all those checklists that we in fact made the list or made the midterm goal of 50% reduction. The other thing that's also important is that CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, actually stipulates in section 15183.5 what is contained or what must be contained in a climate action plan for that plan to be used and relied upon when we do future analysis of projects that come through the door. And then lastly, that there's a commitment by the city to evaluate on some periodic timetable, usually 3 to 5 years, that we go back and we reevaluate where we're at. You'll find one of the things that we did in the city that is probably not unique, but there is, generally speaking, kind of an industry standard, if you will, that going forward, most cities either will pick 15 or 20% reduction as on a go forward when they look at projects. For the benefit of the commission, we elected to choose the 20%. We felt like, and staff believes, that we've got a hard and fast 23%. We know that. It's in evidence. We would rather pick a higher standard because we think that by the 20%, simple math gives you 43% or 7% deficit on that next tier that we have to get to. We think that is a better position to be in than picking the 15% standard and finding out in 2020 or 2025 that we've really got another 10 or 15% to go on top of what you already have to do to get there. So we, you know, are not trying to overly burden projects, but we do think it was a prudent way to go to assure that we will meet state law in 2030. So that being said, I don't really have anything more to add to the report. I can answer any questions you might have. With the report in and of itself, again, it does meet all the requirements of CEQA, so we can rely upon it should you recommend it to the council and should the council approve it. There is in here the compliance checklist. If you have any questions or want to go through that really quickly, again, and I just kind of briefly mentioned, this would be something that all new projects, any amendments, you know, to site plans would be required to submit to us. But we also envision it being, you know, you don't need a permit or you don't need an entitlement if you're doing a solar roof, you know, solar project. But it's something that can be used in that light as well, so we can get the greater utility and then someday be able to quantify and make sure that we're making our targets. We also thought it was really important to put in one place under this climate action plan. We also included the 2005 baseline year narrative. So, you know, something should happen to Alan and I, or in 5 to 7 years when, you know, we're ready to do this again. All the documentation is in one place in the climate action plan to move forward, and it's just all right there for whatever consultant we choose or for whomever is going to be kind of undertaking that evaluation at that time. That concludes staff's comments, and we do recommend that you approve the climate action plan for recommendation of the city council as well as the resolution. More than happy, any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Favino. Anybody?
So on new construction, once we approve this, they will we're going to have to get them to commit to certain criteria during the planning phase?
Correct.
Okay. So are we looking at what, LED lighting, solar paneling, the water stuff that we do as well, and of course the vegetation around the buildings? Those are the kind of things we're going to be looking at.
Absolutely. So if you were to look at the checklist in and of itself, so one of the things that we try to do with the checklist is to do a couple of things. One, we wanted to make sure that we provided as much opportunity as possible for somebody to meet the 20% reasonably. Now, that could come in a variety of ways. That could come by 20% of the construction materials are manufactured regionally. And you think, well, why is that important? Well, because the minute we start shortening shipping segments or traffic, you know, it helps reduce. We've got a section in here about solar systems, and you get varying credit based on the size of the system. So, for example, a photovoltaic solar energy that produces 50 to 75% of the power needed, you know, 31% right there. And if you think about, like, the local solar, what you put on your house, the goal is to get to, what, 80, 90%? You know, you hear about people that pay virtually no electricity bill the minute they put solar up. Well, okay, so if you were in the range of 75 to 100, the power of your power need, I mean, there's 44% reduction in GHGs for that project. Same with water heaters, insulation, windows. I mean, we know when we talk to a developer that, you know, they're going to put dual pane windows in because that's required by law. So they automatically get credit by just checking. The other part that we tried to do in this, and kind of, again, just to walk through, you know, as long as they're using energy savings, there's 12%. If they use low flow, any faucets, kitchen devices, et cetera, you know, they'll get value there. But in doing this, one of the things, the other thing that we try to do was to create a little bit of an open-endedness to this, where if an architect or engineer came in and said, hey, look, I am doing, I'm going to do 5/8 inch stucco instead of the normal 3/8. You know, I want GHG credits. And we say, demonstrate it to us. So when you get a thicker stucco, it basically retains heat, you know, more efficient. If he puts in a 35 SEER versus a 30 SEER rated HVAC system, you know, we'll be more than happy to give you credit. We just need evidence that you are in fact reducing the GHGs. So this checklist becomes, one, self-certifying, and it's great on the front end because it helps us for CEQA, but it also helps us on the back end, again, where, you know, Mrs. Smith walks in and we're doing 4 to 5 solar installations, we're issuing permits every single day. It's an amazing thing. So I've already asked Caitlin, who you all have met, to figure out some way, and we've kind of already got it worked out, to go back and use this checklist to capture what we've done over the last 2 or 3 years. Because we want credit for that, for our GHG reductions. So this helps us in historical data and measurement of GHG reductions. It helps us on a go-forward basis with any new permits that come through. It helps us on the basis of evaluating impacts of new projects. It helps us rely on CEQA because the climate action plan is required. It solves, the climate action plan is living up to, help me here, Gabriel. It's a mitigation measure that we're now satisfying, I guess is the way you'd put that. So we think it does a lot of things. Again, and it's self-certifying of the engineer or the contractor or the homeowner. We're trusting. We always have been. We always will be. You know, we're not going to require somebody to, you know, demonstrate 100% unequivocally that, you know, the solar system that they're putting in is at the 75 to 100. We trust them. And we can pretty much guess. We've got expertise in the area. But, you know, somebody comes in and says, yeah, I got 2 little panels that are like what are on my boat, I know they're not at 100%. So anyway, that, sorry to belabor that point, but I think you get the idea.
Hey, Kevin, I have a question on the checklist. Would this be required at the entitlement phase,
mm-hmm.
like for a tentative track map? So not on the individual permits that are being pulled from that map?
Actually, both.
Oh, at both stages.
Oh, yeah. Because, so with the tentative track map, for CEQA purposes, I mean, they may be able to tell us, okay, so we're going to go at, and I'm just going to pick some numbers to make it really easy. They're going to put photovoltaic solar energy that will reduce their power by 75 to 100%. They check the box. They get 44%. They've already satisfied what CEQA require, and we would have evidence that they're going to do that, right? Now they come in and they go, hey, wait a minute. You know what? Not only did I do the solar that satisfied it, but now I'm pulling building permits, and I know I'm using triple pane glass, and I know I've got so many low flows. I would expect them and ask them, hey, let's get you, I mean, it's mutually beneficial. Let's get you as much credit as you can, and help the city get as much credit as they can. So yes, I can see that it, you know, just because you satisfy it, you know, doesn't mean it's satisfied. I mean, you satisfied it in one sense because it meets the requirements of CEQA and entitlement, but at the end of the day, the city has to demonstrate to the state in 2030 that we have a 50% reduction. And so we need every single faucet, you know, low flow faucet, so that we can get credit. So we've kind of got a couple of things going on that this satisfies, that the checklist will be used for and will satisfy. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question as to also why we would do it at both?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, the developer would get credit at the entitlement phase.
Yep.
Say, okay, we're meeting this 20% reduction standard. And then when the building permit is coming, you know, when they come in to pull a building permit, then at that point the city would get credit for the reduction.
Well, and you know what? They would get credit for reduction too,
also.
Because remember that, you know, we've got green building elements of the code, so they're going to need to demonstrate from a green building California code that they're doing some of this stuff. So it also benefits them as well.
Yeah.
And not solely the city, even though we do benefit.
Thanks, Gil.
Any other comments, questions?
Thank you, Mr. Fabino.
Thank you.
All right, so in front of us, we have this resolution. So I'm going to go ahead and read this and get a vote on to approve or not. So we have in front of us resolution number 2015-17, and this is a resolution of the City of Reedley Planning Commission recommending the City Council approve and implement the proposed City of Reedley Climate Action Plan for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. Do we have a first to approve?
Make a motion.
Make a motion to approve. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Can we get a roll call, please?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutierrez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Chairman Custodio?
Yes. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And now we're in a portion of, it's a new area here. It's called administrative business, and this is going to be a discussion.
Yeah.
If that's what I was told, and hopefully this was something that is new and new tech here. So go ahead and explain to us what this is.
Sure. So if the commission would just indulge me just ever so briefly, the matter that you just approved is tentatively scheduled to go before the City Council on December 8th. Sorry, I didn't include that.
And thank you for all the work you guys did. I mean, for this report, it makes our job easy.
So. Oh, it's our pleasure. It makes our job easy too, because now we understand it. I'm just kidding. So administrative business. Yes, this is a little bit new. It is something that we wanted to have an opportunity to kind of tell you what's going on, have some discussion, get some direction from the Planning Commission on this particular topic. But in future, if things like this come up again, you'll kind of know what it's all about. So Ellen and I were talking about all the new gizmos that we have in the chamber, and we thought it'd be important to just take a minute, explain to you what's going on, how it kind of got here, and kind of ask you what your druthers are. So basically what's happened is as you all know, staff would, whenever we did presentations, would ask you to turn around and crane your neck so that you could look at the slides that were portrayed up on the screen, which is in the back left-hand corner of the chambers, or right-hand corner of the chambers. The city received some monies in which we have upgraded the chambers. One, there's a new microphone system, and there is the control hub of the entire world over there. So you'll notice, you know, you can mute, you can turn these things on and off, but also directly in front of you is a screen. And the screen can display, we can hook it up to a computer. It's just, you know, I can stand here with the clicker, I can see the computer, and so now you won't have to crane around, you'll be able to look. There's new lighting. If we wanted to display a document, we do have a document
displayer.
Projector.
Projector. <Yeah. laughs> Sitting up there, so especially if we wanted to look at a track map or something like that, we can put it up. Makes it easier for you as well as the public. So we think it's really great. It provides everybody a little bit more comfortable environment. What we wanted to talk to you about is it is audio only. So the council is now live, meaning when the council is in session, you can actually go to the website, the city website, you can click on a button, presumably, and you can listen to the meetings. So I don't need an answer right now, but something you might want to consider is broadcasting, because that's really what it is, your meetings live. So you're streaming them audio, an audio stream, if you would like. That opportunity's out there. I thought I would talk to the commission, talk to all of you before, you know, we went any further. Is it something you'd like to do, you don't want to do? I mean, it's solely up to you. The council's not mandating any of the commissions to do this, but I just wanted to kind of be a little bit ahead of the curve, give you the holidays to think about. Do you like it, not like it? When we actually did it with the council, apparently 11 people were listening. Again, I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent. It's just a number. We, of course, like to think, actually, I thought 11 was pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, we can wait and see. That's an option if more people have an interest. You know, you're in the community. I kind of look to you as to how many people are interested in development or all the great topics that we talk about in these chambers when we gather, projects, things of that sort. So really just wanted to present that to you, let you know what's literally before you, and then however you'd like to proceed, we're good with, if you want to do it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. We'll just wait to take the lead of the council, whatever. Any questions I can answer? Sure.
I was under the impression that when she announced that at the last council meeting that it also included the commission already. I didn't realize we were going to have a choice. Planning commission, that is.
I mean, so this is what I've been told, and the city has the capability through our agreement to make all this happen to include other commissions. So I'm here before you. What would you like to do? Staff's position would probably be we will follow the lead of the council. If the council directs that all commissions will do this, so be it. I just thought I'd throw it out there for you. Do you want to be ahead of a curve? Do you want to wait till they direct it? If they direct it at all, you know, I figured it might be nice to have a conversation today versus the council decided and here you go kind of thing. But again, I don't know. I'm not aware that it's been mandated, because I think not only is there the planning commission, but there's also the traffic commission and the parks and rec commission and the senior commission. And I don't know how, I don't know all those layers. I don't know all the commissions in the city. You know, I think I'm just trying to keep up with you guys. That's enough. And so I just thought, again, as an opportunity to have a conversation, what would you like? What are your thoughts?
So each, would it be, what would be the cost of the city to project that, or to streamline the meeting?
If you wanted to streamline your meeting, there's no additional cost to the city. So the program or the package that the city bought into when we did all this and the ability to stream, there's no additional cost to the commission to do this. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know, you know, if this is like you get 1 to 3 commissions for X and 4 to 7 commissions for X plus. I don't know how the financial component works. I just know that there's an opportunity. I've asked if there's any additional cost. The answer that was provided to me is there's no additional cost to the commission if they want to do it. But again, I'm just directing and concern for you and raising the question with you as a planning commission. I don't know about the traffic commission or the seniors or park and rec or if there's any others out there.
So if I was sitting at home and didn't want to come to my meeting here, what would be the website that I would
Readly, it's the city's website.
Just
the city's website.
And then probably there's a portion of it.
On the left-hand column, there's a bunch of yellow buttons.
Right.
And one of those is live streaming.
Oh, okay.
So you click on that, and then I think you either follow the directions there, or it just shows up right there, and okay. You don't have to click anything, and then it starts playing for you.
So this could, right now, it could have been live streaming. I mean, all you got to do is turn on the system, and it's ready to go.
Yep.
Pops up
and at the same time you could open up another window and you could look at the staff report, you know, because all that's up on the web as well. What's not up on the web yet is your mugs.
So it's not gonna be video, this is
it
audio.
Is not, it is live streaming. It is all it is all audio.
Okay. That I thought that's what we're gonna be talking about. I have no problem with audio, but visual, I don't know.
Someday. I mean, that's really common.
We'd have to have a beautician here just before every meeting, right?
Yes, we would have to have makeup.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, all public agencies are kind of going that route now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the city invested in the system to do this. We might as well take full advantage of it. And the recordings are on the website anyway, so.
Yeah.
After the fact, right?
After the fact.
So, I mean, so what really is.
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, we are missing a commissioner here, so it would be nice to discuss that with everyone here present, but I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, I don't know if we want to start in the new year.
Yeah, so this was not intended to be an action item for you this evening. It was really just to throw that out there, get your initial thoughts, give you some time to think about it. It wouldn't change anything, I'm presuming you would say, or we wouldn't change our decorum as we address topics. But again, I thought it would be appropriate to give you some time to think about it.
Thank you. All right, we'll get back to you.
Is at one time are we going to have a visual?
Well, I think someday that's part of the plan.
Yeah, and one of the additions that they did was those lights up there. So I think it is meant to eventually. So they're going to have bright lights on you. You'll have the spotlight on you, literally.
Stage, huh?
Mm-hmm.
As long as I can look 10 pounds lighter, I'm happy.
That's not going to happen. All right. Well, I guess the information has been given to us, so we can discuss that amongst ourselves or, you know, within the holidays, and then Miss... Commissioner Barcelos will be given this information as well, hopefully, and maybe we can decide at the beginning of the year when we do our elections, and then, but we're moving towards the future, so why not if it's already there?
I agree with Commissioner Gabriel because they went to all that expense and everything, and every other agency is doing it for transparency reasons, I'm sure. So it's my opinion. We might as well join the 20th century.
Yeah. Sends a good message. Yeah.
I'm used to it, so it's great.
So we would have to come back and make a decision. Would it have to be some like an agenda to, or could we just email you and say we're ready to go? I'm good with it, you're good with it, or how would that happen?
So I think there's two ways you could do that. You could be really formal, and you could direct staff to bring back a resolution. So in January, the first meeting, we always do that funny thing in January, right? You know?
The 7th.
So yeah, the... Yeah.
The election.
You could direct staff to bring it back and do it formally, or you could simply provide direction to staff. And if you provide direction to staff, then really the next day I would send an email to the city manager as well as Paul and say, you know, the Planning Commission has expressed interest in moving forward with going live streaming. They've directed staff to move forward, and then I would just report back to you when that would go live.
I don't know if a resolution is needed, but I think if we start off on the 7th already knowing and agreeing to it, mm-hmm. I think that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
So if, you know, I mean, I'm good, but I don't want to speak for everyone else, and Commissioner Barcellas is not here, so.
Well, if you're going to put it to a vote, it really doesn't matter, I guess.
Yeah,
simple, it's up to you. Really, it's how formal would you like to be? You can do it as informally as you're going to direct staff, or you can be more formal. You know, those are kind of the extremes. Right, well. So whatever you want to do.
Okay. Well, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm ready for that.
Okay.
Me also.
Yeah.
Are you hereby directing staff?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, we are directing staff.
Okay, got it.
All right, thank you.
We'll handle it, no problem. Okay, so I'd like to be really quick. I get the next two items. One, planning. I'll tell you, Alan and I and Caitlin actually, for some odd reason, all met in my office to deal with. Each one of us had our own issue that we were dependent on each other to resolve. We are horrendously busy. There are a lot of entitlements that are in process. I know Ellen is spending a lot of time working with entitlements that would be coming through the door probably January, February, March-ish. So, which again, as I always tell you, is really exciting because that means that pipeline, as much as we're spitting out permits on one end, is being filled on the other. So that's a really, really good sign. We eagerly wait a number of permits to be pulled. They're sitting on our desk, ready to go. It's just a matter of Dr. Moo coming and writing the check and pulling his permits. I know he's really close. We know that Trailside Terrace, which is the multiple family down on G Street next to Jadoon's. You're well aware of that one. They're supposed to come in on Monday and pull their permits. The dialysis center, it's sitting on our counter, ready to go. We're waiting for them to come in and pull their permits. Les Schwab is going gangbusters. You can see that one changing. You know, in the rain did slow them down a little bit. So you can see kind of the cantilevering architectural features that are going up on the exterior. It's really more starting to take some character and move forward. One that's not well seen yet is the district's administrative building. And remember, we've talked about this. You know, the city does not regulate methods of construction. So the contractor's actually been out there for about 2 months working, but they're pulling all the utilities on site. That was the first thing they're doing. So they've chalked it all out. They're starting to do some forms and things like that. So people are like, well, when are they gonna build? Well, they actually been building for the last 2 months. So in front of the working teams, you'll notice there's a strip that's been cut out. That's where they were pulling water, sewer, things like that. Actually, they pulled sewer from 8th, and they got water from 10th. So they went in both directions. So kind of interesting. You may notice that some of the wall, that'll be a 10 or 11 foot wall, for sound attenuation purposes, is pretty much well underway and well constructed. Again, all the foundation is kind of going in, and they ought to be pouring, weather permitting, in the next couple weeks. No asphalt or anything like that, but things are going to come out of the ground pretty quickly with that. So we're pretty darn excited. Engineering has been absolutely crazy, It's like every other week we're either taking notice of completion or notice of award to the council. So on December 8th, there'll be a request of the city council to approve the CVTC equipment package. It's about $2.3 million. I know that there is construction that will begin on the trailway that's from the sports park down to Huntsman. So that'll begin probably in the next week or two. And they've got several other projects, Surly Avenue, and we're very close to getting our bid documents together for the CDBG. I think it's 15471, which will be improvements to the park and some other street improvements around the city. The city is, I don't know if I mentioned, if I didn't, I apologize, but on December 7th, I think that's a Monday, we will have our new senior engineering assistant on board. It'll be his first day. So we'll get him to come before you, just so you get a chance to meet Pablo. Fantastic guy, ton of experience. You know, we'll parade him to the city council on the first available date. He's going to be a huge addition to the engineering division. Very, very close to getting his PE stamp, so we're excited about that. Just a great guy all the way around, fantastic experiences. He actually comes from the National Park Service, and one of the things that really shined through and one of the things that we really liked is that he, if you will, took projects from cradle to grave, or grave to cradle, depending on how you want to look at it. So he did design work, he did bidding work, he did inspection work, he did reimbursement work. So he really, as much as like anyone who starts a new job, the learning curve will be pretty steep. But to know he's got from beginning to end, from design to project closeout experience, is going to be great for the city as we move forward. So we're excited about that as well. And that really concludes my report. I'm more than happy to answer any questions, dispel any rumors, or whatever you'd like to talk about.
Dispel that one rumor for us, please.
So it was brought to my attention that the rumor you referred to is that the Kings River Village project is no longer a viable project. That is not the case. I have talked to several parties that are very much aware of that project, our principals, and have knowledge of that project. The project actually is taking kind of its normal path. You know, just because the project gets approved doesn't mean it springs out of the ground the next day. And we've talked about this at the Planning Commission, and I liken it to, you may recall when we talked about True Value. We knew True Value was going to come. And we knew it was going to get here 6 months before it opened its doors. But part of their business model and part of their process was to go through corporate. And that just took a long time. Well, similar Kings River Village, the project is alive and well. It's just taking time. You know, we've talked about SCS monies, or cap and trade as they're affectionately referred to. There are applications being prepared, that's my understanding, for grant applications that are due, I think, in the middle of December. I can't remember if it's December or January. So there's lots going on. No, there's no dirt moving. Absolutely not. I mean, maybe animals are moving it, but there's no dirt moving. So I know it sits idle, and it probably appears to be idle, but in fact, lots of activities are going on. It's been told that there may be a letter of interest coming in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Again, that's information that that the developers and the parties share with me, but any greater detail about who the LOI is from, what it's for, I'm not privy to any of that information. But it is moving forward, that much I know, and I can share that with you, and do believe that it truly is moving forward.
Kevin, I noticed coming into the meeting today, I didn't notice this yesterday, but on the Menomi packing got knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
Are they prepping for something there, or are they just trying to clear the property and have it vacant, or?
Good question. I don't, I can tell you,
no
I
rumors,
can,
just.
Yeah, so that's been the big thing. Well, actually, the truth of the matter is there's actually two residential structures. The piece that was demolished, and remember, all that's in the county, so I'm presuming they got county demolition permits and all that stuff. The residential unit that came down is, my understanding, is their mom's. And don't know her disposition or where she's at, but Jan and her husband, which are the primary caretakers of the property, again, my understanding, live further north. So yes, we were aware of it. We know that Jan has talked to us about potential development over the last couple of years. I'm not aware of any firm, there's no entitlements in place. I've not discussed anything with her. Of recent, and
but that property was one of the ones we pre-zoned, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Light industry?
No, commercial.
Light commercial.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many acres is that? Do you know right offhand?
Well, the piece that you just referred to actually is 5. But there are two pieces. There's mom's piece, mm-hmm. which is the 5-acre
right,
corner.
Yeah.
Then it's like another 30 around it.
So is that an actual separate parcel?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's actually a legal lot of, it's a 5-acre parcel that house was actually on.
So a service station could go in there then?
I don't know. They'd have to develop it. I guess, I couldn't comment on that because it's not in the city. It's in the county. I don't think the county would allow it. I'd like to think they would give us the opportunity, and they're obligated under our MOU to give us that opportunity to make comment. I don't know where they would get utilities from unless they annexed into the city. So, there you go. While I'm thinking about it, Ellen and I have been working feverishly. We're hoping, keeping our fingers crossed, that on December 9th, there will be a LAFCO hearing for one of the properties. There's actually 4 properties that was part of the rezone, pre-zone, if you will, right on Dinuba Avenue between Growens, Hemlock, mm-hmm. and Fisher,
oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
area. That application was immediately submitted to LAFCO. LAFCO has received it. They're processing it, and we're waiting for one piece of paper, literally. We get that piece of paper in the next couple days, then we will be making a December 8th hearing date or 9th hearing date. If not, it gets pushed back to the first meeting in January. But that's moving along as well, and that will be we'll be glad when that one gets done. Anything else I can answer for you? Anything else you want to know about?
No. Thank you.
In early January, would you like me, while I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'll put it on my things to do list, would you like, I can get our city engineer to maybe come and give you a Reed Avenue update and look forward? I will make that happen in January for you.
Thank you.
We received a lot of questions about that, and then also the Menomi property, especially since all that's been going on as well, too. So,
thank you. All right, so we have future agenda items on this list. We have right now none for December, and so this could be potentially our last meeting of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that will change. If that changes, we'll be notified and all that good stuff. But do you guys anticipate this staying this way?
I do, yeah. Definitely nothing on the 3rd of December, just because the noticing requirements haven't, that doesn't work. So something could go on December, but I haven't received anything. So unless it comes in like tomorrow or something, I don't think we'll have anything.
All right. So commissioners?
The planners, commissioners, luncheon at Bear Club. I think, was that on your agenda there?
I think it's on the agenda for December 20th.
Well, that's automatic. It's an automatic.
What's that?
Automatic. That's right. The commissioners take staff out.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let's go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.